Update with Andy Wint.
Pastor by, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Wednesday, 14th of April, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man. And background to the news, we've got sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person tonight. No new cases of COVID-19. That's 14 active cases, no one in Nobles. And in this update, the landlord registration bill won't solve substandard homes. More women in management now. Now it's 3 wins for CAV in Turkey. The reason behind the armed police in Strand Street earlier this month. And there are 713 people self-isolating. It's lockdown 3, day 43.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
And first of all, at 29 minutes before 6, the update news headlines. Vastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Vastamai, the active number of COVID-19 cases has dropped to 14 as no new cases have been identified for the fourth consecutive day. No one is being treated for COVID-19 in hospital. A threat to a Strand Street business was the reason behind an armed police response in the capital at the start of the month. Police say a man threatened to harm people in the street and specialist firearms officers were sent to the area as a result. It was later discovered he was off island and police stood down. There was an avalanche of public support to preserve an iconic building in the south of the island, according to Geoffrey Boot. The Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister confirmed this week the Cosy Nook was one of 3 sites granted registered status. Breaking news from further afield, and the officer who shot dead motorist Dante Wright in Minneapolis is to be charged with second-degree manslaughter. More information on that story to follow. Elsewhere, a forensic expert has told a US court he believes George Floyd died from a number of contributing factors, including drug use and heart disease. David Fowler is giving evidence at the trial of former officer Derek Chauvin, who denies murder. And police have uncovered a huge suspected cannabis farm in Manchester city centre. Officers seized drugs worth an estimated £5 million from the warehouse on Monday. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, and thank you, Rhiann, from the Ronald Tway Met Office. No problems, no warnings out in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours. Mananan is in harbour and the mountain road is clear tonight. This evening on the island, dry with some late sunshine, clear intervals, a light to moderate breeze coming in from the east or southeast, down to 2 degrees through the night with a grass frost. And for Thursday, tomorrow, chilly to kick off with, then dry with sunny intervals. Light to moderate southeasterly, highest 11 degrees. The overnight minimum 3 into Friday. Dry and sunny on Friday. Jehenya, a light south-southeasterly, top temperature 10 Celsius. Tides on the way out. Low water 8:02 tonight. Sunset 8:18. High water overnight 1:00 to 2 a.m. Sunrise 6:18 and low water 8:20.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. It's easy and cheap to repair broken greenhouse glass at Manx Glass and Glazing. For greenhouse glass cut to size, call 674573.
So we have no new cases of COVID-19 again for the fourth day in a row, just 14 active cases now, and it means everything is on track for a full lifting of lockdown restrictions this coming Monday. Of course, there will be a media briefing tomorrow at 4 o'clock and you'll be able to hear it live on Manx Radio, AM, FM and on our social media channels on Facebook and on YouTube. Meanwhile, people who are under the age of 30 are being encouraged to register for a COVID-19 vaccination. No letters have been sent to this group, but you're being asked to register online or by calling 111. If you're under the age of 30, letters have been sent out this week to those aged between 30 and 39 and 40 and 49.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
More on the background with that Strand Street armed police response. That threat to a Strand Street business was the reason behind an armed police response in the capital at the start of this month. Officers have provided more information of the incident. It happened on the 1st of April. Ewan Gorn.
Police say a man made a threat to harm people in the street, which they took as a credible threat. Specialist firearms officers were sent to the area as a result. However, it was later discovered the threat came from someone off-island and officers stood down. Superintendent Stephen Maddox says it's now being investigated, but the man is known to police and is thought to be suffering with mental health issues. He says no further action is being taken at this time based on the circumstances of this particular case.
With the landlord registration bill due back in the House of Keys tomorrow, an MHK has warned it won't solve the issue of substandard homes. If approved, it'll create a list of landlords and their properties to allow the Department of Infrastructure to regulate the sector. Around 16.16% of the population lives in rented accommodation. This is Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas.
It doesn't change any law whatsoever. It just creates a register of tenants. That information is already available. It's just a myth that's being created. Admittedly, you don't at the moment have to keep your registration up to date, but most people do. Some of the problem landlords have given me and have given other members of Tynwald a list of all of their properties. It's not hard to find. It's a massive challenge, and the only way to fix that is to deal with the real underlying issue, which is that there are unfit properties lived in by owner occupiers and also rented out, and we need to change some aspects of tenancy and landlord law.
Well, if what you're saying is correct, what's the point in this legislation?
Politics. Basically, there's an election coming up. This should have been dealt with since 2014. Political syllogism is something needs to be done. This is something, let's do it. I can accept that as long as there's a lead in time. So one of my amendments is to put into the law the fact that this bill won't become law in force until standards have been raised, until a proper deposit protection and ombudsman scheme has been put in place. Basically, at the moment, it suits politicians because they want to be seen to be doing something about a major challenge. And I want to make sure that people understand this in itself doesn't address it. It's one step on the way. But what's absolutely important is we make the law fit for purpose. And that's why I'm so delighted that Minister Baker has actually taken 3 weeks already to consider clauses. Well, this is the third week coming up on Thursday. He's heard some serious points because so many of the backbenchers have engaged and so many landlords and lawyers out there have engaged. And the law is now finally getting to the stage of being fit for purpose.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Good evening. 23 minutes now before 6 on Max Radio. HSC Mananan left Heysham this afternoon at 5 past 2 in Douglas at about 4:30 this afternoon. And she'll be leaving first thing tomorrow morning, 8:45, arriving in Heysham at 11 o'clock. Due to the closure of the border, the steam packet's fast craft season's delayed, and obviously HSC Mananan didn't recommend services on Thursday 25th, but she's providing cover for the Bemercree's current period of overhaul until next month, and the motor ship Arrow is providing the freight service.
Like the steam packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
The Manx missile Mark Cavendish is well and truly back after going 3 years without a win. He's now claimed a hat-trick of stage victories in the Tour of Turkey. Tim Glover.
It's a three-peat in Turkey from the wheels of the man from Laxey. Any doubts he wouldn't return to glory after 3 years marred by illness and injury? Well, they've now been put to bed. For the third consecutive day, Mark Cavendish consigned Jasper Philipsen to second place. Now, there was a huge crash with 200 metres to go of today's fourth stage, which brought down several riders at high speed and delayed others, leaving 15 riders or so to contest the end of the sprint. Riders crashed through barriers, knocking over some fans. It's not yet known if there are any major injuries. It certainly unsettled the commentators.
We'll come back to that in a moment. Philipson's going for it. Oh, and Philipson is just going to have the edges. Mark Cavendish is coming up very, very late. Oh, that's a heartbreaker for everybody else. Mark Cavendish Cavendish takes it.
Afterwards, Cavendish praised his team, having claimed his 154th stage victory of a stellar career, saying, "It's special that the team believe in me. It was a drag strip and headwind finish, slightly uphill, more of a grind, I guess." Back to that incident, and Cav showed his caring nature. Teammate Fabio Jacobsen was involved in a similar horror crash in Poland last August, where he sustained serious head injuries. He was part of the lead-out train for Cavendish in his comeback race. The Manx missile finished by saying, "Winning three is irrelevant. I was pleased to see how far Fabio got, but it's not nice for him to see a crash."
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
20 to 6 on update. Southeast Asia's most valuable startup, Grab, is going public in the world's largest special purpose acquisition company, an SPAC merger. In the $40 billion deal, the ride-hailing and food delivery firm will merge with the blank check company, Altimeter Capital, and list on the NASDAQ. The move could value Grab at more than twice its last private valuation of $16 billion. Comes amid a rush of investor interest in both SPAC mergers in America and in the Southeast Asia's booming internet economy. Boeing has alerted 16 of its customers of an electrical issue in the 737 MAX jet. It's recommending that they stop flying the 737 MAX. Boeing says it's working with the Federal Aviation Administration in America on a problem with a component of the electrical power system on some 737 MAXs. It's believed the issue involves a backup power system for all the aircraft's electrical parts. It's comparable to a domestic circuit breaker panel. American Airlines, Southwest and United Airlines say more than 60 737 MAXs are now on the ground because of it.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets eked out small gains. The dollar nursed losses. Oil surged and gold was a little change as global equity markets held near record highs. In corporate news, Glencore was the top riser following an upgrade to buy at Goldman Sachs. Goldman said in the same note that the neutral rated Antofagasta is a high quality business with a strong balance sheet. And Tesco lost ground after it reported an unchanged annual dividend. Ramsey Crookall now reporting the numbers at 5 o'clock at the close on the FTSE 100, up 0.7% at 6,939. The DAX in Frankfurt closed down 0.2% at 15,209. And at 5 o'clock in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial up 0.6%, 33,893. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index down 0.2% at 13,968. And the S&P 500 in Chicago up 0.1% at 4,146. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is worth $1, 37.8 cents. €1, 15.1 cents, and 19 South African rand, 84.4 cents. And in commodities, gold down 0.5% at $1,736 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up 4%, $66.44.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
There was an avalanche of public support to preserve an iconic building in the south of the Isle of Man, according to the Minister Geoffrey Boot. The Environmental Food and Agriculture Minister confirmed this week the Cozy Nook was one of three sites granted registered status. Commissioners in Port Erin last year voted to demolish the seaside cafe, but this latest move means that won't be allowed to happen. Here's Mr. Boot speaking to our local Democracy reporter, Chris Cave.
I readily admit this. We tend to be active rather than proactive. If we have evidence or someone tells us that a building is at risk or it's obvious that it is, in other words, building work taking place close to it, or in the case of the Cozy Nook, the commissioners indicated that they wanted to demolish it, then that obviously puts a red flag over it. And we then act to see whether the building is worthy of registration when it's brought to our attention in that way, and put a hold on anything that might alter or demolish it in the meantime. And that's what happened here. The buildings were brought to our attention and we acted accordingly.
Port Erin commissioners had a vote on plans for the Cosy Nook. Now, some people want to keep it as it is, others don't. This seems from the outside, though, like the authorities made a decision that you as government don't agree with, so you've chosen to intervene. Is that the case?
Well, that's not how the process works. If the building is brought to our attention, in this case, it was fairly publicly brought to our attention, they made a public announcement that they wanted to demolish it. There was almost an avalanche of public opinion that the building should be preserved. Now, that doesn't mean in itself that we will register the building, but that starts a process. And I have to say that to the consultation responses that came back were overwhelmingly in favour of retaining the building.
Does this set a wider precedent? Local authority members who've been elected in make a democratic decision, but central government doesn't like it, so they'll put a stop to it.
I don't think that's the case at all. There are often views that differ from local authority, and I have no thoughts about overriding local democracy. I think democracy as a whole is served by investigation of buildings like this as national assets going forward. And in this particular case, it doesn't stop alterations to the building, but it retains it as part of the national heritage.
Manx Radio Sport.
14 minutes before six. Faster by Rhiann Evans.
Faster by, good evening. Golfing legend Tom Gandy is off to Austria for a belated start to his season. The Manx man will be going head-to-head with some of the sport's most fierce competitors, including former Ryder Cup star and major winner Martin Kaymer. Gandy is going into the 2021 season on a confidence high after making it through the final round in three of his last five European Tour events. After a slow start to the year, events are now coming in thick and fast, with a three-event swing in South Africa opening the Challenge Tour season immediately after Austria. This is then followed by an immediate return to Europe for back-to-back events in Sweden in mid-May. And the remainder of the season will see Gandy fly the Manx flag across at least three continents as he competes in some new destinations in his golfing career, including Finland, Switzerland and China. In local rugby, and well, the curtain fell early on the 2019-2020 season, and it will once again this season as the COVID lockdowns take their toll on the rugby calendar. The Isle of Man Organising Committee has looked at the calendar and determined that even if lockdown was able to end on or around the 19th of April, there is still insufficient time to allow players to restart training and get themselves rugby ready before the scheduled end of the season on the 24th of May. Neither of the planned competitions have actually started in earnest yet, so for the second year running, there will be no Manx Cup. As an alternative, clubs will be encouraged to work on a programme of non-contact social rugby events, which are likely to be held over the coming months before pre-season training begins in July, ahead of what will hopefully be a full season. Further afield, and Northern Ireland's women made history last night as they qualified for their first ever major tournament. A 2-0 win over Ukraine at Seaview secured a 4-1 aggregate victory in their Euro 2022 playoff. Captain Marissa Callaghan tells Sky Sports News it's all down to the management ability of Kenny Shields.
2 years ago, if anyone had said that we were going to the Euros, I would have absolutely laughed in their face. This wasn't a dream that we could even dream then. It just took a guy like Kenny to come in and just believe in the talent that we had. And yeah, we're going to the Euros because of it.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
12 minutes to 6 now, one departure, one arrival at Ronald's, where the 5 o'clock patient transfer, Logan Air, left 7 minutes late. It'll be back this evening at 20 to 7 on the roads, main road in Sandton. 24-hour four-way lights for some work on a bus stop. Also look out for the new Castletown Road with 24-hour three-way lights. They're building a new pedestrian crossing, so the existing lamps aren't working. Take care also, Quarterbridge Road, those nighttime closures, 6 till 6 from Peel Road to Tremode Road for resurfacing. And Paul Rose Bridge, of course, is closed until February next year, at least. Fingers crossed. Also in Castletown, West Hill, West Hill Avenue Service Lane, and Ellerslie Gardens and Maloo Street got some closures there for drainage and reconstruction. And in Ramsey, Glen Elphin, South Promenade and Stanley Mountie's got some parking restrictions for construction work.
Quayside Tyres use Xmas to sanitise all vehicles and is available for your home or workplace. For tyre requirements, we can come to your drive or workplace with no call-out charge during the circuit break or arrange collection and return. Call 66 4417.
And just to reiterate, no problems on the mountain road. A man whose younger brother took his own life believes boys need to be taught in school how to communicate and manage their emotions from an early age. Carl Staniford lost his brother Cameron at the age of 20. In his memory, Carl's kayaking around the Isle of Man to raise money for local charities I'll Listen, Quing and Cruise Bereavement. But with reports from the UK showing some male suicide rates hitting a two-decade high, Carl says society needs to change.
There's something seriously wrong with society and the way we're doing things if people are becoming suicidal in their own company. Our own internal wellness has to be more of a priority in the current education system. Like, what we're doing at the moment isn't working, is it? We have to mix things up. We have to try something new. And for me, we're actually in quite a very unique position on the Isle of Man with our own Manx government, and we can implement something in our own schools. We could prioritise sort of learning how to communicate and process thoughts and emotions and give kids a better foundation to overcome challenges that modern life sort of throws at us.
Masculinity comes up time and again, and that it's kind of built in to men and young boys, even though society seems a lot more open and encouraging to talk about stuff, there's still an inbuilt thing that a lot of men experience where they feel like they have to just deal with stuff rather than communicate when they're struggling. They feel like there's a pressure to just suck it up, and that phrase, man up. Be a man.
Yeah.
Just get on with it. Do you as a man feel like that kind of toxic masculinity is still around, basically?
100%. Yeah. It's a society collective sort of belief system, isn't it? It's just the way we are, it's the way we've been brought up. And just providing that earlier awareness in schools, like your I Listen and your Quing are doing, and the stuff that Cruise Bereavement Care are doing as well, they're teaching young kids how to process emotions.
Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Good evening, it's 8 minutes before six. Thanks for choosing Manx Radio. An update tonight. More than a third of 115 Manx businesses taking part in a survey on the impact of lockdown say their revenue's down by more than three quarters, 75%. The Isle of Man Chamber of Commerce's study revealed that more than half aren't making enough money to support the business, while more than 17% expect to make job cuts in the next 3 months. Rebecca George is the Chamber's chief exec.
When you take the entire pandemic from the, you know, this time last year, many businesses have not been open for, you know, more than a third of the year. There are a lot of businesses that are really struggling. Now that we, you know, everything crossed are coming out of this, what we hope will be our final lockdown, you know, we need to really understand what businesses need in terms of recovery. You know, we don't want to just get to the point where, okay, we're out of a lockdown, so we'll just let these businesses carry on. We need to make sure we're looking after them and ensuring that they've got everything they need to really stimulate that recovery in the months ahead.
Now, you have done surveys along this lines through all three lockdowns. How do the figures now compare to the previous two? Is it broadly similar, or are businesses struggling more as the pandemic has gone on?
It's an interesting question, actually. And what I'd like to do, actually, is have a look at our first ever survey we did, you know, business impact survey way back a year ago, and look and compare that to now. Generally, what we're seeing is very similar statistics. And because we've gone in and out of lockdowns, they're bouncing up and down. As soon as we come out of lockdown, a lot of these businesses can stimulate their revenues very quickly. It's not for everybody, but many of them can. So we're seeing this very up and down statistics. But generally, they're fairly similar. But one thing we need to make sure is very important, is that we see this continuation of a road to recovery and ensure that we understand what businesses need for support going forward.
A study undertaken by an Alabama-based business advisory firm found what it describes as a real breakthrough regarding women in the workplace. Grant Thornton surveyed about 5,000 companies worldwide, finding the number of women in management roles had increased from 29% to 31% in 2020 compared to the year before. Here's director from Grant Thornton, Claire Watterson.
It looks like we're at a junction at the moment. We could go one of two ways. We could either start looking at moving forward and embracing the changes that coronavirus and this pandemic has brought into the workplace, such as the flexible working models, working from home, the additional IT infrastructures that businesses have put in place to embrace a more flexible working culture. Or if we don't pay attention to what's happened and the benefits that these could provide to our staff, we could potentially slip backwards into a more sort of office-based role.
Many of us will have gotten used to Zoom over the past year, but you mentioned their flexibility. Do you think technology, or perhaps that flexibility you mentioned there, is more important?
I think flexibility is going to become much more important, particularly when people are looking to move careers and move through firms. I think there'll be a lot more opportunities for people to work in the way in which they want to, so fit more of their working hours around either family life or certain interests. The only other thing that I was wondering is how your other guests recently have been finding the changes in working practices over the corona period, particularly with the lack of childcare, how Manx businesses have been faring. I found, as a working mum, over the past 6 weeks, the difficulties of not having childcare and trying to be a full-time mum and a full-time director for business has been an incredible challenge. It's a challenge that I've not faced, that this sort of level of a challenge through my working career previously. I mean, at the moment, as I'm sat talking to you, I'm sat amongst a big pile of mega blocks with my little 17-month-old having commandeered my laptop, and he's been trying to talk to you as much as I've been trying to talk to you. It's a completely different way of working, and I'm looking forward to being able to split the family time and the working time coming forward. But it'll be interesting to see the impacts of that on Manx businesses.
And that's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Rhiann Evans and producer Rhiann Evans tonight. Remember, big day tomorrow, 4 o'clock media briefing live on Manx Radio. I'm Andy Wint. Back with Update tomorrow at 5:30.
WINT.